Brother Bobby, would you pray for us, please? Well, every day, praying every day. If you need help with it, tell me, and we'll get you a schedule. You don't have to read by schedule, but everyone that reads the Bible through this year can come to the Bible Readers Banquet free of charge, and it's a fun time of food and fellowship. Now, we've been in the book of Genesis for a while, and I want to go ahead and say, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth is true.
Amen.
It's the Word of God. And really, that whole chapter is the Word of God. And chapter 2 is the Word of God also. And 3, 4, and 5, when we fell, when our grandparents fell, that's the Word of God. It's an accurate record that God gave us of what happened. And then on through over to chapter 11. That's the Word of God. You can count on it. You can trust it. You can depend on it. And really, if you want to get right down technical, the whole 1,199 chapters, you can depend on it. It's the Word of the Lord. We read last week, I think, 3,000. Sometimes the Bible says it's the Word of God, claims to be the Word of God. And I just want to go ahead and say that's right. The Bible is the Word of God. You can count on it. Now we're up to chapter 21. Been looking at Abraham, the first patriarch. And we looked last week at let me review a little bit. In verse 1, let's say, the Lord visited Sarah as He had said. There we go again. The Word of God. You can count on it. You can rely on it. And the Lord did unto Sarah as He had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abram a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken. Now, God has all eternity. It's been like 14 years since God promised. It's 13 years since God promised Abraham and Sarah. But God's not in a hurry. He's not in a hurry. He works leisurely and deliberately. He's working in our lives just like He was working in their lives. And the Lord is in no hurry. I get in a hurry sometimes. I want Him to hurry up and do it. But the age and the deadness is just a trifle to Him. That's just an iota of information. It's nothing to Him. He revives when He wants to. And last week we looked at several miracle births, about a half a dozen in the Bible, about a half a dozen in these pews. And it all had to do with the Creator. The creature had nothing to do with it. If the Lord, see, we're all barren. And if the Lord don't open us up, we won't get opened up. There'll be no births. I've found that. I've talked to enough people about the Lord. I figured out if He don't save them, they're not going to get saved.
Right.
We can't do it. It's not the creature. The creature has nothing in it. It's the Creator. But when He gets in there, His Word is sure. As He has said, as He had spoken. That's sure. You can take that part to the bank.
Amen.
It's no difficulty for Him.
Right.
No difficulty for Him. Abraham is like us. He's a worm.
Yeah.
But God called him His friend.
Right.
It's my friend. Three times He calls him friend. I think it's three times. And we're in there too, you know.
Yeah.
If you've been born again, then you're a friend of God.
Yeah.
I know we're still wormy. I know that. And we're talking about the Father of us all. He'll do the same for you that He did for Abraham.
Yeah.
He doesn't have favorites, and you can be a friend of God, and probably are already a friend of God. Us worms. And what did it is He's the Almighty. He just comes in there and makes the barren fruitful. It's God that does that. It's not us. It doesn't depend on us. Again, I'm reminded our natural state is worse than we think.
Yes.
We're worse than we think we are.
Yes.
Let me say it a different way. Brother Rick's worse than he thinks he is. I know he's bad and he says he's bad, but I'm worse than I think. How many times have I said, I didn't realize I was so bad until I got saved. But when you get your eyes open, like the song says, he moves in my heart and opened up my eyes. Then I start seeing how wicked I am. But we can be friends of God. I cannot improve the old nature. The flesh won't get saved. This flesh didn't get saved. And Brother John, I told him I was going to talk about him a little bit. And his own testimony is that drink was his problem. And I asked him again a while ago to confirm this. And he said, yeah, he'd tried to quit several times. He said that works about a day. I experienced the same thing. Or maybe language. Maybe you had trouble with language. Joe Jr. told me he had a lot of problems with bad English. But not when his mommy was around. He said it wasn't a problem at all then.
Right.
He had no problem. The flesh, we might clean it out for a day or two, like Brother John said, and it's empty. But then I think I read somewhere where something seven times more bad will come back in. The flesh will never get. The flesh is not what gets saved. It's
right.
That inside part.
That's
right. It's that inside. If John hadn't have got born again and someone, big S, big O, moved inside, he'd still be quitting every day.
Yeah.
But something happened. Someone, the Creator moved inside his heart.
Amen.
That's right.
And that works.
Yeah.
That works. And we were looking at this 9, 10, and 11. I'm still in Genesis 21, 9, 10, and 11. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham mocking. See, his true nature didn't come out. Remember, Ishmael is a picture of the flesh.
Right.
And he did pretty good for 14 years till the Spirit showed up. And then he showed his real colors.
Right.
Wherefore she said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. See, it hurts to cast out the flesh. And I feel like last week I left you with a big load to do that. Let me just go ahead and tell you when that's going to happen. It's going to happen when Jesus comes back.
Yeah.
Until then, we're just stuck with this. My biggest problem is the guy that walks around under my hat. When he comes back, we're going to get a new body. Don't you worry. This is going to be cast out then. Just go ahead and start enjoying it. Until then, we can rely on the Spirit to help us.
Right.
To do the best we can. I read about the fella. I'll just read it to you here a little bit, if you don't mind. The fella got saved. It said years ago, an enormously fat man was saved at a Salvationist meeting. I'll ask some of y'all later. I guess that's Salvation Army. I don't know. I don't know if that's a denomination or what. Salvation Army. He came back home, man. He was happy. He's telling his wife he got saved. And that went on for a while. And then one day he comes home sad. And she said, what's the matter? He said, well, all the rest of them have a red shirt, jersey. And I don't have a red jersey. She said, don't worry about it. I'll make you one. And she knitted him up a red jersey. And he went back. And he was all excited again at the Salvation Army meeting. And they all had red jerseys. And that worked for a day or two. And then he come home and he was sad again. And she said, honey, what's wrong? He said, well, all the rest of them got white letters on their jersey. And I don't have no white letters. She said, don't worry, honey. She said, I'll put you some letters on there. He said, well, you can't read or write. And she said, well, I know, and you can't either. She said, don't worry, I'll do something. So the next day, she looks across the street, and there's a store opening up, or actually changing hands. The store had been shut down, and somebody was over there shining it up, working on it, getting ready to open up a new store. And she said, I'll just copy those letters off his sign and put on that jersey. And he come back from a meeting at next week, and he's all excited again. He said, they said I had the best jersey of anybody. And what it said was, under new management. He got a hold of this thing that the Spirit wasn't any good. This business under new management. See it? It was tragic from the beginning for Abraham to go into a partnership with Hagar. It just wasn't going to work out. We need to be under new management. It worked for Brother John. Brother John's under new management. It's why the years have went by. Now the flesh is cast out. Brother John's got his eyes on Isaac. On Jesus. And that's what I should be doing. Let's look at that one more time here. See if we can get it. Sarah saw, I'm in the 21:9, Genesis 21:9. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. See, we're not talking about reform. Reformation will not work. You can clean up the flesh for a little bit, but the hog is going to go back to the hog pen, back to the mud. I'm not talking about turning over a new leaf. Brother John got born again. Born from above is what happened. That's what we all need. That's what happened to me. I got a new heart. A new heart. I'll cast off this flesh when I get my new body. That's when it's going to happen. Let's look now in verse 10, or 12. We're on 12 now. The farewell. We saw the feast, the flouting, the fury. How about the farewell in verse 12? And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman in all that Sarah hath said unto thee. Hearken unto her voice. For in Isaac shall I seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, took bread and a bottle of water, and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. Again, the flesh must be crucified. And when Jesus comes back, that's when it's going to happen to us. That's when our adoption will be complete. We've been adopted, but the final paperwork will be done when Jesus comes back and we get our new body. 15 and 16 is the fear. And the water was spent in the bottle. She cast the child under one of the shrubs, and she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. The fear. Mamas know about that. Right here would be the fear. And then the deliverance. 17. And God heard the voice of the lad. Now, in 16, she's praying. But in 17, God hears the lad. A little bit of intercession going on here. Somebody, the lad's 14, if you remember, or maybe plus, a little bit better. And he can do his own praying, and God heard him. You know, if I got a real serious prayer request, I'd take it downstairs to the youth church.
Yes, sir.
And get those youngins to pray. They don't have all the garbage that we do. And they can get through. They can get through. And God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Well, what was ailing her? Number one, she's outcast. She wasn't, and maybe you can identify with that. Maybe you're an outcast. But she wasn't just an outcast, she was cast out. She had nowhere to go. She's in the desert by herself. The water's gone. She's destitute. She has no social programs. She can't sign up on CHIP welfare or anything. She's helpless. She doesn't have a job. She doesn't have a way to make it. She's not looking forward to a payday. For me, the month's always longer than the payday. And she doesn't even have that to hope for. She's helpless and she's hopeless. It's a common ailment. It's going around. Maybe you've been in these conditions before. I think I've been there. Outcast, destitute, helpless, hopeless. That's where she's at. The descendants of Abraham or Ishmael, are over in chapter 25. We won't look at those today. And after that, the Lord's going to quit talking about Ishmael. He's going to drop this line, but they're still out there in the desert somewhere, the Arabs are. But the Lord doesn't talk about it. But he heard the voice of the lad, the intercession. Then in 18, there's some directions for God's way. God tells him, he said, lift up, arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thy hand, for I will make him a great nation. The Lord tells her what to do, and she does it in 19. And the Lord opened her eyes. That's the preparation. He's preparing her for what's going to happen.
Right.
This week's a week of preparation for us. It's on the board at 10 o'clock every day. There's going to be prayer. At 7 o'clock at night, there's going to be prayer. We're preparing. It's preparation. We're preparing our hearts for revival. And then, and she saw a well of water. There's the provisions, Brother Garth. He already had it there, waiting on her all the time. And then he opened her eyes so she could see the provisions. And she obeys. She went. She obeys. Brother Rick needs to obey. That's what Brother Rick needs to do. I'm talking this morning about how unthankful Brother Rick is. That's my worst sin, I reckon, or pride. It's all the same thing, I guess. And then, not only that, she filled the bottle with water. Acceptance. She accepted what God provided. Have you accepted what the Lord provided? Heard someone say it last week. See, what happened on Calvary? What happened on the cross? Probably the preacher. That satisfied the Father. And I need to be satisfied with the same thing. It'd be crazy if I went to try and work for it.
Right.
Be crazy. I need to accept what God accepted. God accepted the sacrifice of His Son. And that's what I need to accept. That's what I need to be satisfied with. There's nothing else. There's nothing else. There's nothing to look back to. There's nothing back there. There's nothing. And so she accepted what God had provided. And then the result is, and gave the lad drink. That's who, mamas, you know that's what she was worried about. You know that's why she wept, because of the lad. And then I guess you could call that revival then. It's kind of like we're going to see in chapter 22, going down the other side of the mountains, a lot better. It's a lot better now that God showed her the well, where the well was, and she could get filled up, get the canteens all filled up, and get ready to go. Revival, I think, is what we're going to call it. 20 and 21, the faithfulness. The faithfulness. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness, become an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. And they lived happily ever after. Because they did what the Lord said. The Lord provided. The faithfulness. The faithfulness. Obey God, and it turns out right. I need to obey Him anyway, whether it turns out right or not. This is really what my job is to do. The persons are in 22. And it came to pass at the time that Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, spake unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all thou doest. Well, you know, just the last chapter, we saw he messed up and went down into Egypt again. Now, Abimelech. And don't forget, he's the father of us all. We never get rid of this place. There's never a place when we can say, oh, I've attained, I can relax now. I can let the guard down now. I've got it made. I've done thus. I've obeyed in two or three areas, so now I'm okay. No, that never happens. As long as we're in this life, we need to be on guard, walk circumspectly, watch for the enemy. Watch for the enemy. He doesn't quit. We don't need to quit. 23 and 24 is the plan. Now therefore swear unto me here by God that thou will not deal falsely with me, nor with my son, nor with my son's son, but according to the kindness that I have done unto thee, thou shalt do unto me and to the land wherein thou hast sojourned. And Abraham said, I will swear. Then here's the problem. Abraham reproved Abimelech because of a well of water which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. And Abimelech said, I wot not who hath done this thing, neither didst thou tell me, neither yet heard I of it but today. And then here's the past. And Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them unto Abimelech, and both of them made a covenant. And Abraham set the 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves, and Abimelech said unto Abram, what mean these 7 ewe lambs which thou hast set by themselves? And he said, for these 7 ewe lambs shalt thou take of my hand, and they shall be a witness unto me that I have digged this well. And then the place. If you remember, this is a peace pact, a covenant between them, not to fight or to war over the well. And then, wherefore, he called that place Beersheba, because there they swear both of them. Thus they made a covenant, Beersheba. Then Abimelech rose up, and Phicol, the chief captain of the host, and they returned unto the land of the Philistines. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in the Philistines' land many days. Let's look at 22 here. We've got a good bit of time left. Here's the order of events, the order of things, the way they're going to happen here. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. That's another good thing Brother Rick could do when the Lord calls. He said, okay, here I am. I'm ready. Availability, we've read, is the best ability to be available. And now, also, we need to see here that God never tempts us to sin. That word is used here like we would use the word test. In other words, like you come up on a bridge and the Department of Highways will have a sign that says weight limit 12 tons. That means they've already been through here and tested that. They didn't try to break it in half. They just figured out it would hold 12 tons. They had tested it. Same way with a rope or a cable. They'll say a rope good for 2,000 pounds. They tested it in the factory. They wasn't tempting the rope to sin or nothing. They wasn't tempting the bridge to sin. They were testing it to see what it was holding. And we go through tests. The thing is, those tests aren't for the Lord. He knows how much weight I can take and what'll break me. He wants me to know. He wants me to know if it's 12,000 pounds or 2,000 pounds. And that's the purpose of the test. Let's look at some verses on that. James 1. James 1, 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, tested, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Not with evil. It's a test. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That's a good formula right there. And it's true for Brother Rick and for everybody else. That's the LSD in the Bible. Lust, sin, death. It'll happen every time. No man is stronger. Need to rely on the Spirit that helped Brother John. Exodus 20, 20. Exodus 20:20, and Moses said unto the people, "Fear not, for God is come to prove you, to test you, that His fear may be before your faces, that you sin not." That's the purpose. That's verse 1. What's going on here? Now back to Genesis 22:2. And he said, God said, talking to Abraham, "Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac." Wait a minute. I thought he had two sons. What happened to Ishmael? Once again, God doesn't recognize the works of the flesh. He only recognizes Isaac. In God's eyes, He's got Isaac, whom thou lovest. We get a witness right there. All these little kids out here running around in the hall. Somebody loves them. Somebody does. "And get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." Let's look at that mountain. It's in 2 Chronicles 3. Verse 1. "Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, where the Lord had appeared unto David his father in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite." Well, this mountain that Abraham's going to is Mount Moriah. We saw that in verse 2. And that's in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to end up, that's the same mountain Calvary's on.
Right.
It's the same mountain. This chapter 22 is a picture of Calvary. Matter of fact, the man-made title, this is Abraham's Calvary,
right.
Chapter 22. And it's all a picture of what's going to happen. Here's the place where the Lord went. Now, Psalm 22, just a while back, we looked at that on Wednesday night, I think it was. The whole thing's a picture of Calvary, or almost all of it. Isaiah 53, that's a picture of the Savior that's going to come someday and suffer and bleed and die for the world. Both those whole chapters are about that. Let's look at a couple of verses about that in Psalm 69, 1 and 2. Because of time, you could read those others for homework. Psalm 69, 1 and 2. A picture of Calvary. "Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul." The other song says, "No man knew how deep the waters were, or how dark the night was that the Lord passed through to save our wicked souls,
yeah,
our rotten hide. I sink in the deep mire where there's no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me." I'm wading through deep waters is what we're talking about on the way home. Those all tell what Calvary meant to the Son. Here, verse 2 tells what Calvary meant to the Father. And he said, this is Abraham listening to God. And he's not sure what he's hearing, maybe. And God says, "Take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." He's going to take his son, his only son, and kill him and gut him. It's what he's told to do right here. Verse 3, the obedience. "And Abraham rose up early in the morning." I get an amen right there.
Yeah.
Brother Jared, how about saying amen right there?
Amen.
I'll read it. You get ready. You're just a little bit slow. Get ready. "And Abraham rose up early in the morning."
Amen.
Amen. "And saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him. And Isaac, his son, clave the wood."
Yeah.
I had to look it up. Clave, you'll know this, same thing as cleave. So I looked up cleave. It means stick.
Yeah.
It means adhere. It means hold on to. How about like cleave to that which is good? Isaac cleaved. He stuck to that wood just like our Savior carried the cross up the mountain. He was stuck to it. He was stuck to it. Verse 4 is the ordeal. We already saw the place. Verse 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. John 8:56. Go ye up unto the feast. I'm sorry, that's on 7. John 8:56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day and saw it and was glad. When did he see it? He saw it right here on Mount Moriah.
That's right.
It was a big picture of Calvary. The ordeal. Going to be going for 4 days. Verse 5. And Abraham said unto the lad, unto the young men, his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. He believed in the resurrection. He believed if he obeyed God, God was able to raise his son up from the dead. Do you believe it this morning? You believe it all? Yeah, I believe it all. Verse 6, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid upon Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together.
Up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, walked Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners, death on the cross.
See him this morning? Can you see?
Precious Redeemer.
Go ahead, yeah.
Seems now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding for sin.
Can you see him this morning? Can you see it? Can you see him? It's a picture. It's all a picture. It's the place. They're in the same place. He said, we'll come again. We're going to go worship. We're going to go yonder and worship. And then we're going to come back again. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb? John saw him over in chapter 1. He said, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. It's all a picture of that to come.
Yeah.
Some are trusting the Lamb of education. Some the Lamb of good works. Where's the Lamb? Where's the Lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. That's the story of the whole Bible, is God providing himself a lamb. He became the Lamb of God so we could go in. Even though Abraham's the father of all us sinners, God made a way for his blood. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together.
Yeah,
right. Father, forgive them, thus did he pray, even while his life.
This morning, can you sing? Does it seem like you can sing?
On Calvary's
thank you. Preacher, you pray for us, please.
Father, we sure do thank you for Calvary.
Yes.
Thank you for a blessed Redeemer that you sent our way. Thank you that you didn't just send him, but Lord, he come of my way after that and draw me to his side and save my soul. Thank you for salvation this morning. Thank you for this blessed old book that tells us about how you love us and care. Oh, you're wonderful this morning. There ain't no doubt that we do look to you this morning. We need you. Oh, God, help us this morning, I pray. But thank you, thank you, thank you for a man called Jesus. And amen.
Amen.